Blog Talk Radio.
These are the days I will remember. These are the faces I need most. Everything changes, but I'll keep forever. These days I will remember. These days I will remember. Still got that trophy that says second place. Still got that breakup letter from my old flame. And I know it's been too long to recall it right, but you don't forget the goodbyes, and you don't forget the good times. Still got that scar from my one and only fight. Still remember when your father left and we drove all night. And I know it's been too long to recall it right, but you don't forget the goodbyes, and you don't forget the good times. No, you don't forget the goodbyes, and you don't forget the good times. These are the days I will remember. That blanket from when you were born. That night love hit me like a heavy storm. And I know it's been too long to recall it right, but you don't forget the goodbyes, and you don't forget the good times. No, you don't forget the goodbyes, and you don't forget the good times. These are the days I will.
Hello and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters, and who knows, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. I hope everyone is having a good week so far and continues to have an even better one. And hello, Naomi. How's it going?
Hello, Pam. Better. My antibiotics.
Good.
Yeah, less coughing, eh?
Yeah.
I had a,
And more energy?
Yeah. Slept a lot. Slept about a week off and on. But boy, those antibiotics, they really
oh,
work.
Yeah.
So I'm back.
Thank goodness those are invented. Yep, good. I'm glad to hear that. So tell us a little bit about the prompt or the topic for tonight.
Yeah, well, we have a few carryovers from my last contest, which was, a follow-up on Life is Art.
with the word embedo. And I ran, I started out by running a 15-place contest, but, you know, the poets were messaging me, you know, what a great artist this Victor Nivsofsky. I have a strong trouble. He's Russian artist. What a great artist this was. And, you know, they were writing poems and writing poems. So I said, okay, I'm going to, you know, he has too much talent for me to, you know, so I'm going to reopen the contest. And, you know, well, if, you know, I have too many carryovers, I'll just do a second show, you know, with him. So because he was everybody was so inspired. And, you know, he was such an amazing, amazing artist. You know, he's a very he has a lot of variety. You know, he goes from fantasy to landscapes to still life. You know, he's very versatile, this artist. you know, he has a very rich and diverse experiences, so that he digs in from Greek mythology, Russian folklore, childhood memories. You know, a great master of his past life that he paints on canvas, inspiration, and, you know, routine daily life too. So, you know, he was born in Russia. And, you know, he is an American citizen. He lived in, where is it? I'm looking this up. He lived in Washington, D.C., but now he does live in Maryland with his wife and his young son and daughter. So, you know, a very awesome, awesome poet, artist, this Victor Nizovsev, which I can't pronounce his name, sorry. But, you know, I just fell in love with his artwork. He's just an amazing, amazing artist. So great, great poetry tonight.
Very impressive choice of songs.
Probably was featured before. I can't believe, you know, nobody ever featured him. But, you know, I said, oh, well, you know, he's probably well known, but I just loved his art. His art does have like an autumn feel about it. Well, the prompts that I chose, you know, there's pumpkins in there. There's leaves, you know, it has this autumn-y feeling, you know, to the art. So the colors and everything. So, you know, so that it was what inspired me to go with his art tonight. So awesome. I'm really happy because there was an awesome turnout. Great, great board of poetry tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. I have to agree with you. And very cool. Very cool. Great choices. All right. Well, I would like to let you know I have brought on two, not one, but two Twisted Misters. First of all, I would like to welcome Robert M. to the show. Welcome, Robert. Glad you could join us.
Yep,
hi, Robert.
Here. Hello.
So happy you're there.
Well, thank you.
And then I would like to welcome Lawrence to the show. Welcome, Lawrence. Glad you could join us.
A pleasure. The artwork was irresistible.
Oh, yeah, just awesome. And I love the prompt that you both chose to, you know, Laurent, that the prompt that you were inspired by. I was there crossing my fingers. I was there. Oh, that's one of my favorite prompts. I want somebody to write to it, and nobody had written to it till you did. So thank you. and thank you, Robert, for finding a poem and being inspired by the artwork too. Thank you so much.
I didn't realize there were so many pieces that I could. Otherwise, I would have just called in to help. You can save mine for last because there's a lot.
No, you'll get read. And Laurent, again, how long can you stay with us? Are you on a time schedule or?
No.
Cool.
I always intend to stick it out. It's all up to Mother Nature. But yeah, I intend to be here.
Okay. I'm going to hang on to you till the end. Try to. Thank you so much. We have so much poetry on the board, so we need those great Mr. Twisted Tuesday voices. So I'm going to put up. So I'm going to put up the first piece right now, and Robert, if you can give us the pleasure of reading that. I'm going to put it on the board right now.
Sorry.
Whoops, I lost the page. There I go. Where is it?
Of course, you had to catch me while I was choking on my drink.
wait a minute. I'm there, guys. Okay. There we go. Okay, so as soon as you see that, Robert, if you can give that a read for us, please.
All right. This is Art Break by Lockdown Larks. A fighter maybe, but he left one day, turning his back on their game. The other looked a different way, throwing away all their fame. Just following his heart and losing his art. Not needing to steam, strumming a guitar string, choosing to follow a dream, touching hearts with songs to sing, following his heart to find a new art, wandering to another land, inspired to write with such grace. No stranger to a stranger brand, found himself in a blue-lit space, the beat of his heart, sounds in his art. Life's full of cuts and bruises, relationships of love and pain, sometimes wins, sometimes loses. Would he do it all over again? Who can find their art in their heart and bone?
Oh, what an awesome read there, Robert. Yeah, and this is an awesome poem. It talks about friendship and, it's so powerful, such a powerful write. Life's full of cuts and bruises, relationships of love and pain, sometimes wins, sometimes loses. Would he do it all over again? Who can find their art in their heart? So he really attacked, the prompt so well, that life is art. And, I love that title, Art Break, there. What did you think, Laurent?
It was a beautiful take on the prompt, The Boxer by Paul Simon. A fighter maybe, but he left one day, turning his back on their game. The other looked a different way, throwing away all their fame, just following his heart and losing his art. It's plaintive. It's... It touches the soul, and it is in really an inspiration by the song to establish, and I'll use bridge over troubled waters, to establish some kind of a bridge from one space to another. Life's full of cuts and bruises, relationships of love and pain. It is. And you both win and you lose. who can find their art in their mm-hmm. heart. This is a very touching piece.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, it is very, very well put out and very, very touching indeed, like you said. Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was very nicely written with the great rhyme and flow. You know, I thought he did a great job of expressing himself and the storyline from the song. And, you know, I like the message of following the dreams of your heart. So excellent writing, very well done.
Yeah, excellent comment there, Pam. And Robert, you got to read it. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was an awesome piece, basically, of a person finding his way to creatively express things, and whether it be one way or another, whether it be writing songs or playing songs, but like not needing to team, strumming a guitar string, choosing to follow a dream, touching hearts with songs to sing. So they just in like the first like half of the poem is already three different ways to express yourself, and staying true to himself in that he only expresses the art that he feels, you know, follow your heart to find your art, basically, you know. So I thought that it was very straightforward, great rhyme, and it really touched on, you know, the inner muses and kind of gave a nod to them. So I really could appreciate this piece. That was great.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Amazing, amazing piece here. Thank you so much, Lockdown Lars. So I'm going to put up our second piece. And Laurent, if you would give that a read whenever you see it. There it is. Hello, Laurent.
Hey, thank you for getting me off mute before I started. That was good. This is The Art of Life or Death by Robert J. Teese. Forgetting life wants constant art. We settled into static frames as painted portraits or clay figures drying in the stagnant air. What happens to our artistry, those vaulting strokes of vividness across the canvas stretched by time, our emotions sculpting depth and heft? Where do we go inflexible, unable to escape old shapes? This apathy that leaves us cold, how can we snub or cease to feel? Why halt it all and freeze in place before we've even formed a face? Will you recall your restless heart and be the artist of your art? End poem.
Awesome, awesome read there, Laurent. I just love that finishing questions there. Why halt it all and freeze in place before we've even formed a face? Will you recall your restless heart and be the artist of your art? Will you be the artist of your art? That's such an awesome line. You know, and we settle into static frames as painted portraits or clay figures dying in the stagnant air. It's very powerful, though, that first stanza. And then, you know, there's so much truth to this. The art of life or death, you know, will we go forward or we just stay stagnant? And we know when we stop being, being true or being changing or evolving, we start to die a bit, you know. So awesome, awesome piece. I really like this piece. And Robert, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I really dug this piece a lot because I can relate to it in a lot of senses, because I've been stagnant for a while, and it's a feeling that is widespread and it's relatable, but there is no fix all for it. Like, for example, sometimes your company is what can keep you from being your creative self, or your frame of mind, or your environment could keep you and cause you to go stagnant and cage your creativity. And I really like that he touched on that, because it is a very frigid feeling, like not being able to express yourself is just very, very, it's like an imprisoning of your mind. And the way that he expressed it in all of his metaphor, like what happens to our artistry, those vaulting strokes of vividness across the canvas stretched by time, our motions sculpting depth and heft, you know, like what happened, like that made us not be, you know, that made us more closed-minded, or that made us less inspired, or, you know, was it life? You know, these are all good questions to ask, and it really is a thought-provoking piece in that regard. So I thought it did great.
Yeah, I agree. Very, very thought-provoking indeed. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was beautiful and thoughtful, with the wonderful imagery and metaphors. I do like how it speaks on the idea of being willing to step out of the box and more readily represent yourself rather than who everybody wants you to be. And it's beautifully written all the way through, but I especially like where do we go inflexible, unable to escape old shapes, this apathy that leaves us cold? How can we snub or cease to feel? I thought there were powerful lines there and very well done.
Oh, yeah, I like the observation of being able to step out of the box. You know, that's so important, especially for an artist. You know, I don't think you can be an artist without, you know, seeing the gray and not just the black and white. But, well, I don't know, but, you know, seems to me that you have to be able to see the gray a bit in life to overstep there and then to just go for it, you know, and try new things. So a wonderful observation there. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yes, certainly. You want to talk about stepping out of the box? Picasso stepped out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Wealthy and famous. You know, I was particularly struck by the same stanza that Pam quoted, where do we go inflexible, unable to escape old shapes? You know, you got to refer right back to the first line. Forgetting life wants constant art. It's not enough to just produce something and sit back. It's a constant process, and it's an evolving process. It's a process that allows you to go from level to level to level, and only by breaking the strictures of the day, the accepted philosophies or styles, does art expand into a new area. And that's what this is all about. It's a great piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so true. So true there. I love your reference there to Picasso. Yeah, he did set, a new style, new genre, and a new, you know, Pardon me?
There's a new paradigm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I have it's a wonderful, wonderful piece there by Robert J. Teese. And, I have our next piece up. So, Pam, whenever you're ready, can give that a read.
This is The Weight of Grief by Lil Lulu, and it goes like this. Lost, drifting, wandering in circles, headed for anywhere, ending up nowhere. Wretched, fragile, fragmented pieces, crumbling world, shattered spirit deep within, persistent, overpowering, agonizing, infinite heartache, a crushing, powerful weight, mind-numbing, indecisive, flitting thoughts, impotent plans, directional confusion, everlasting void, raw emotion, overwhelming rage, intense yearning, profound absence, collapsing under the weight of losing you. End poem.
Awesome read there, Pam. And, you know, what a powerful poem, you know, and an emotive write on, you know, the just feeling that weight, that grief. You know, this is so well written. I love the short, impactful lines. You know, they get the emotion across. You know, they're short, but they're well chosen. And just amazing right here by Little Lulu. And Laha, your thoughts?
The first stanza, lost, drifting, wandering in circles, headed for anywhere, ending up nowhere. When you are willing to go anywhere, you have no clear purpose, you have no set path, you have no destination, you have no process for rehabilitation of the emotional wreck that you've become. So all these things happen to you with the infinite heartache, the mind-numbing, indecisive, flitting thoughts. You're at the mercy of emotions in the world. It is a collapse, and I did like this poem.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Great observation there, Laurent. And Robert, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that she touched on grief very well. I mean, it was very descriptive, and yet you could feel everything, like each line. There was, like, no weak line here. And they all were all interwoven and connected to, you know, basically present you with this really heavy poem, to say the least. And I think that the loss, you know, and grief, and it's two of the strongest feelings for some reason. It's just because you care so much for something, and the more that you care about it, the deeper the hole is, the bigger the void that you have to fill once it's gone. And in this description, she must have lost something very, very important. So I commend her for sharing it, and I'm glad that she did, because, you know, this is what it's for, this poetry. So, great job.
Yeah, indeed. Poetry helps us get through so much. And so, a wonderful outlet, you know, for grief and for, you know, any hardship we go through, any emotion. So, a great observation there, Robert. And Pam, you read that so beautifully. What are your thoughts?
I really appreciated this one, and I like what everyone had to say about it. You know, I like when people share such painfully personal writes on grief and loss. This was powerful and emotive. I like the title, The Weight of Grief, because it really does weigh down on you. And I'm always impressed when people write poems where there's only like 1 to 4 words per line, because especially when you do only 1 word per line, 1 to 2 words, you really have to make sure that you're choosing the right word to make the right impact. And I think she especially does that well with mind-numbing, indecisive, flitting thoughts, impotent plans, directional confusion, because out of all the stanzas, those are particularly short in meter and syllable count, the idea of flitting thoughts and impotent plans. And all the way through, just a wonderful write, but I was especially impressed with those lines, and it was very well done.
Yeah, and that stanza really stood out for me too there, those lines. And great job there, Lulu. And thank you so much for sharing. So I have the next poem up by Poetic Creations. And Robert, would you give that a read for us, please?
Okie doke. Let's see. Poetic Creations. All right. This is A Meshed Mess by Poetic Creations. Medical gauze, wounds for the cause, smothered by a blanket of discontent. From every negative action where my wounds happen to be the reaction of dissatisfaction. I'm beautiful underneath the injuries of life's injustice and running eyeliner. Woe to the passionate that yet to be broken. Making love is as dangerous as throwing stones. Like kissing in the steeple with church bells ringing, it'll leave your head pounding and your body aching. End poem.
This is a, you know, Poetic Creations really, you know, has a way with metaphors. And, you know, right is powerful. This is very powerful and heartfelt, right? I just love, you know, the metaphor of like kissing in the steeple with church bells ringing. It'll leave your head pounding and your body aching. You know, you feel the emotion in each of those lines, you know, just the damage, the hurt there, you just feel very emotive, right? Very powerful. And Lorac, what are your thoughts?
Unless I'm mistaken, he wrote this from the distaff point of view, and he says, I'm beautiful underneath the injuries of life's injustice and running eyeliner. And when you talk about medical gauze, wounds for the cause, I'm not sure if that's a metaphor or whether there was an actual beating, or perhaps it was both. I'm not sure. The phrase making love is as dangerous as throwing stones, I guess I have to agree with that wholeheartedly. It is like walking a knife's edge, and it shouldn't be, because love is irresistible, yet it brings us into such dangerous territory. Great piece.
I love your observation there about it. It does bring us to dangerous territory, indeed, you know. And, you know, he stated it so amazingly. Making love is as dangerous as throwing stones. And that's a strong, powerful line there he used. Wonderful metaphor. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really liked this. It is a powerful write. I did like how he wrote from a female perspective. It's very strong and heartfelt in the way that it speaks on damage caused to the body and spirit. I really like from every negative action where my wounds happen to be the reaction of dissatisfaction. There's a great rhyme there, and just you can feel the hurt within there. So very well done.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Awesome comment there, Pam. And Robert, your thoughts?
Well, I appreciate the standard that you guys pointed out. But I think that a word of warning and word to the wise even is woe to the passionate that yet to be broken. That is a great, like, opener for a stanza, hell, even an opener for a poem or anything. The quote by itself would be awesome. So, and then it follows it up with making love is as dangerous as throwing stones. Because when you think about it, I mean, he didn't say having sex, he said making love. So you're more invested in it. And it is dangerous because you're putting yourself out there in more ways than one, because there are physical ramifications, there are consequences for that. But there's also emotional ones, too, whereas, you know, it's not returned like it isn't felt as equally. So, you know, there's a whole lot that rides on it. And really putting yourself out there is quite dangerous, especially nowadays, you know, when emotions tend to be on the sideline for the most part. I mean, a lot of people are fine with that, and I mean, I ain't judging, you know what I mean, but it is very dangerous. So, yeah, did a great job, Poetic Creations, in using like the medical gauze and the wounds for the cause. I really enjoyed this piece thoroughly, in its relatability.
Oh, yeah. I agree. You know, awesome, awesome, talented writer for sure. So thank you so much, Poetic Creations.
Great job.
And, yeah, awesome comment. And, Laurent, will you read the next piece for us, please?
I will.
Thank you.
Vivian, this is Ambito by Randy G. Today seems surreal. I'm feeling mellow and placid, and if I didn't know any better, I'd think I'd drop acid. The clouds are happily dancing across the azure sky. I watch them in stunned amazement as they float by. This started last night, which was filled with dreams, morphed into hallucinations, mind-blowing extremes, which had me tossing to and fro with varied visions that fill my head with thoughts of cosmic collisions. As I awoke, I pondered all this, and then went downstairs to breakfast. But this time, I could only sit and stare into my coffee as the cream slowly became a cloud. Am I awake or not? My reality is covered by a shroud. I decided to go outside. Maybe that'll clear my head away from the house to get some fresh air instead. Laying in the grass, I look up, all my stress departed. I fall into the surreal. That's where this poem started. End poem.
I just loved this piece, you know, especially with, you know, how he finishes it. That's where this poem started. So like it circles around there. But, you know, he just tells it as it is, you know. An excellent right, you know, at being caught up in Ambedo. Ambedo, which, of course, is like a kind of melancholic trance, you know, in which you become absorbed in something, you know, like the wind or the, you know, the rain or, you know, or even the cream, like he stated, staring at the cream and in the coffee or staring into his coffee. You know, just an excellent right here by Randy G. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. I too really like the way that he circled around. And I like that he really took to heart the definition of the word and reflected it nicely in his poetry. I thought this had a really delightful use of imagery that unveils the surreal in the everyday. You know, there was, as he mentioned, you know, and what a fun, humorous beginning. Today seems surreal. I'm feeling mellow and placid. And if I didn't know any better, I think I dropped acid. That makes me smile. That cracks me. You know, and it's wonderful all the way through. But that and that second stanza really works for me very well. I enjoyed that. And before you continue on, I would like to let you know that Swan Song has joined us. So welcome, Jeff. Glad you could join us.
Hi.
Oh, wow. Hello. Welcome. So glad to have you.
Thanks.
Doing fine. And you?
Oh, I'm there. I'm hanging in there.
yeah, you had quite a fall, I heard. Hey, are you doing okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm fine. I just got an ankle sprain. That's the main thing. But I can move around. So I'm good.
Okay. So I hope you get better soon. And did you hear our last poem? It's Jeff, right?
Yes. I heard part of it. I didn't hear the whole thing, but I read it. It was good. I like that. It does go full circle. It's kind of the night what I like about the poem is it's got a little bit of everything, a little bit of humor, rhyme, meter, and you know, it's really hard to write a poem that's like that and be able to cover all areas. Sometimes you gotta you're almost forced to do things, but when you rhyme or use a form, and this guy did it pretty well all the way around.
Mm-hmm. That's a great observation. Yes, the technical ability that used in this poem is awesome, as well as, you know, the writing itself. So awesome comment. Who didn't I ask? No, I asked Pam. I asked you, Jeff. And did I ask you, Robert, to comment?
Not yet.
Okay.
Well, you know, I really enjoyed it as well, because, you know, it made me smile, because I, as Pam would know, I recently wrote one for Pam and them about a mushroom trip. So this one about an acid trip was actually right up my alley. So and the way that he described it, and as you guys pointed out, the meter and the rhyme and the attention to the prompt, like he did the whole, like, basically, you know, hole in one with this one. So did very well, and I appreciated the playfulness of it and the structure of it, as well as all the metaphors. So and the visuals were on point, so yeah, I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm. Great imagery, yes, throughout the poem. Amazing comment there, Robert. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Kudos to the poet for the rhyming and the way he did that. And Beto, what a welcome verbal encounter that is. I'm no stranger to those melancholic trances. I'm sure we are all aren't. It's nice to be able to put a name to it. I thought it was a perfect description of that melancholic trance, the way one thing led to another. Everything that he did, coffee, the cream slowly becoming a cloud, his realities covered by a shroud, the dreams that morphed into hallucinations, the clouds happily dancing. At moments like that, you can view the world around you with a startling clarity, where all the colors are richer, and time seems to move to a different pace, and it is kind of a magical time, despite it being melancholic. I thought he did a great job expressing what Ambito was within the context of this poem, as well as paying attention to the prompt.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. You guys are killing it with your comments tonight. Awesome comment, Lauren. And Jeff, I have our next poem up. Would you mind giving that a read for us?
Okay, I'll give it a shot. It's by Adrian, 41062, Happiness. My life, a train smash around every corner. Everything I touch turns to dust. There is always a mirage as I walk through life's desert. These things I cling to. The memories, hopes, dreams, I grapple with reality, knowing I always make it to my drinking place. One day, the walls I build, the mess of the baggage carried, will fade away into incandescent, subliminal happiness. End poem.
What an amazing write, you know, on trying to find happiness here, you know, trying to bury all the what is going bad in life, you know, under maybe that false illusion of happiness. Awesome right here by Adrian. What are your thoughts, Laurent, on this poem?
Happiness, how difficult it is to find. Sometimes it comes to us almost by accident. As he says, I walk through life's desert. These are the things that I cling to, the memories, hopes, dreams. I grapple with reality, knowing I always make it to my drinking place. Oh, the crutches that we build that turn into the walls that he talks about, and the mess of the baggage carried will fade away and into that indefinable, so sought after, incandescent, subliminal happiness. It doesn't have to be completely overt. It could be just below the surface so that we can find our calm center. He did a great job on this.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Awesome, awesome comment there, Laurent. And Robert, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is one of those humanistic pieces that where instead of enduring the tragedies and sifted through the debris, you tend to bury yourself in temporary euphoria. And that's what it seemed like, you know, where he says, one day is the walls I build, the mess of baggage, carried will fade away into incandescent subliminal happiness. Now, you know, that happiness, it's probably only temporary unless you receive some type of maybe brain damage or something, but the illusion never holds. And that's why this is a relatable piece, because we always, well, not always, a lot of us tend to look for those things and delve into vices to do so, to kind of give at least a small reprieve from the chaos that's abound. So he did a great job in such a short poem in conveying that. So I really liked it.
Yeah, me too. Great little piece. Awesome comment there, Robert. And Pam, your thoughts?
This is beautiful. Well, first of all, I have to say, with words like humanistic and euphoric, that was a very poetic comment there, Robert. Very poetic. And, you know, I really like how he captured so much in just two stanzas. And to me, this spoke strongly on the idea of trying to bury the troubles of life under a falsehood of happiness, you know, and a wonderful use of imagery. And in this poem in particular, especially in a stanza with the mention of knowing I always make it to my drinking place, it feels like the idea of dealing with your troubles through constant drinking, through alcohol. But I think it can represent the idea of, you know, ignoring problems, pretending to be happy or finding ways to pretend to be happy in any sort of way. So excellent brevity and very well done.
Yeah, awesome comment there, Pam. Yeah, it can be, you know, drinking place can be a metaphor for so many, you know, so many other things, you know, that you bury yourself in. So true. And Jeff, your thoughts?
Well, I kind of echo what's been said already. I like his delivery, though. I mean, it's plain spoken, and it's, you know, it's just kind of matter of fact, so that really anybody could understand it, which I love accessible poetry. So that's one thing I like about it. When he mentioned the drinking pole, then I kind of got into a picture of a bunch of middle-aged old guys sitting at the bar, you know, and you know, it's not, and you know, we're all striving for happiness. I mean, and it comes and it goes. It's like anything, you know. I mean, that's kind of when I go through my hard times. That's kind of what I figure out is, you know, well, it's not going to be here forever, so I'll live, you know. And I think that's kind of the writer's attitude, which I enjoyed the poem a lot.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Yeah, awesome, awesome comment there, Jeff. Yeah, great little piece. Thank you so much, Adrian. And, yeah, I've been making you guys read and read and read, so I guess it's my turn that I should read something. So I'm going to read the next piece by Addie Karen. Simple things makes me happy. The beautiful little things give me happiness in my life. I do not depend on big things, but the small things make me happy. The act of kindness by making a smile at someone, and when I get it back, I'm thrilled with joy. Someone gives me a hug or a bouquet of flowers, all gives joy and immense happiness as I feel that I am loved. When I walk on a starry night with my husband holding his hands and the shy look on my face, the aroma of the rain, all brings bliss. When I get a book from the local library, I am engrossed in reading. I forget about the man cutting the leaves on the tree and the fragrance of the cut grass. All of these above-mentioned small things gives me the joy of leading a simple life. End poem. Oh, I just love this poem. It's so true, you know, just those simple little things, you know. I'm a big believer. I even have a poem on, you know, simple little things on my page, on All Poetry. But, you know, it's so true. Just a smile that you give or a hug that you give, you know, brings so much joy to the giver and to the receiver. Just those simple things. And I just love, you know, that where he says, and, you know, a book that you get from the library, you know, and you forget about the man cutting the leaves on the tree, the fragrance of the cut grass, you know, you're so engrossed in the book. And, you know, I love reading. So those are some of the simple joys in life. I just love this poem. And Jeff, your thoughts, what did you think of this poem?
Oh, definitely a feel-good poem. It's a joy to read. I mean, you read it, and at the end of it, you feel good. But I love there's things that, you know, you don't read a lot about, getting your hand held and the shy girl. And that's kind of, you know, I love that part. When I walk on a starry night with my husband holding his hands and the shy look on my face, it kind of reminds me of that, you know, that schoolgirl innocence and stuff like that, which makes you feel good. That's really what the whole poem is about. But her plain spokenness and her kind of matter of fact approach is makes the poem even more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. I so agree. Yeah, that stanza was particularly beautiful, the one that you talked about there, Jeff. I agree. And Laurent, your thoughts on the poem?
Yeah, this, as was just mentioned, the little things are the things that people encounter in their lives all the time. If you go about looking for just the big things, you're probably destined to be pretty unhappy because they don't come easy. But it's the small things, the things that are achievable, but the hug, the flowers, the act of kindness, walking on a starry night holding hands, participation in the community, and what could be better than the library? You're right. Those are the achievable things. And those will lead to joys. If a big thing comes, that's good, but you can't depend on it. So simple things make me happy.
Oh, yeah. It's the simple things. So true. And Robert, your thoughts?
Yeah. She titled it correctly, The Simple Things. The poem itself was simplistic, but it by no means, you know, put a bearing on its quality. It was a fantastic poem. And, you know, you think about the way that the world is moving so fast nowadays, and everything has to be grandiose, and you know, everything has to be like the grand finale. Not everything does, and you know, sometimes just, you know, the simple way, the way that the sun hits the clouds, you know, you might find it beautiful. A lot of people with depression have a harder time enjoying things, but then when it peeks through every now and then, it makes it that much better. And so when you just go about your life and you take in the little things, you just gather them little by little, and eventually, you know, you're going to say, hey, they aren't so little. They actually mean a lot to your state of mind. So I thought it was a very pleasant and, I don't want to say cute, but it was, I enjoyed it. Let's just put it that way.
Awesome comment there, Robert. So true. The little things, you know, that you have to, I think you have to hang on to those, you know, when you're going through a dark patch, because, you know, dark patches do happen, and yeah, they are a part of life, and so little things so important. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a delightful write. I like what everybody had to say. You know, to me, it just really is wonderful how it speaks on the idea that small gifts of life brings great joy. And it's beautiful all the way through, but I did really like where she talks about, where she wrote about acts of kindness in the second stanza, and then in the third stanza, you know, someone gives me a hug or a bouquet of flowers, all gives joy and immense happiness as I feel that I am loved. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Indeed. Great, awesome comment there, Pam. And would you be up for reading the next poem for us, Pam, please? My Garden Delight.
I would be happy to. This is Childhood at its Best, My Garden Delight. And it goes like this. I have always been able to sleep at your knee, Mother, draped as you were in your day's dizziness. Memories of elderberry summers, living on whatever we squeezed or pinched from heavy-laden market stalls in the morning, gathering edible bits from open meadows in abandoned kitchen gardens in the afternoon. It was the best childhood imaginable. I knew no want but wasn't satisfied in suitable time. I knew no want that wasn't satisfied in suitable time. Mama was my treasure, my strong supporter, the brilliant sun I revolved around every hour. Imagine the dribble of warm butter on homemade bread, the crisp rustle of fresh bedding as I crawled in, a flood of warmth as a soft blanket was tucked over me. These are the secure links of my youthful castle walls, of a beloved and coddled princess within. One might opine that independence was not on my bill of fare while at home, but one would be in grave error at those thoughts. Instead, I went into the world knowing that I could do most anything needful, and so I have. And home.
What a beautiful ride here by Garden Delight. This is just amazing. It's emotive. You know, the way she finished it was so beautiful. The real treasure, the education, you know, what she got from her mother, what she learned, and you know, of course, the imagery throughout was just amazing. You know, could just feel that dribble of warm butter on homemade bread, made me think of my mom, but you know. This amazing, right? And, you know, Garden Delight, this was one of the three or four poems she wrote for different prompts in this contest. She said she loved the artist so much she couldn't stop writing. So, so thank you so much, Garden Delight, for this awesome poem. And, Robert, what are your thoughts on this poem? Oh, Robert
he said he'd be right back.
Yeah, that's it. I just saw that. Jeff, your thoughts?
Sending tribute to her mother, that's pretty evident. I just love how she kind of went through it, you know. And I mean, the first stanza kind of, you know, she provided needs, and then you get into the second stanza that I like, it where she goes, "Mama was my treasure, my strong supporter, the brilliant sun I revolved around every hour." You know, and that's a different kind of love in a way. One's providing, the other one's more emotional or emotional support. And then the imagine the dribble of warm butter on homemade bread. Mine's molasses cookies, that and peanut butter cookies. Those were kind of a staple at my house. And then she, I like, well, it was a little turn in the end. One might opine that independence was not on my bill, affair, or home, but one would be grave heir of those thoughts. Instead, I went into the world knowing what I could, that I could do most anything needful, and so I have. So she's in turn, I would imagine, did the same thing, or possibly, you know, became more in the world, or whatever, you know. But it's a really strong write, and obviously a very personal one.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, Garden Delight, she really shares herself with us when in her writing. So such an amazing write. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this had wonderful imagery throughout. I thought it was a lovely story write on how learning about acts of kindness, you know, starts at home. And I liked that the ending was the thought that this girl, this young lady, goes out into the world wanting to show the world the same happiness, the same kindness, and that she learned from her mother. So excellent write and very well done.
Yeah, so true there, Pam. Awesome comment. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Poem certainly has a lot to say. The bond between mother and daughter is so strong that despite having to pinch or steal food, gathering edible bits from open meadows or abandoned kitchen gardens, she could describe her childhood as the best imaginable. I knew no want that wasn't satisfied in suitable time. We're not talking about immediate gratification here. It's delayed gratification, so that when times were better and she could enjoy warm butter on homemade bread and fresh bedding and a soft blanket and think back on her childhood, the youthful castle walls of a beloved and coddled princess actually strengthened her, knowing that I could do most anything needful. And so I have. What a great story. What a great poem this is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, indeed. Our Garden Delight, she always blows me away with her poetry. So thank you so much, Garden Delight, for, you know, writing for me for this contest. And, Laura, I have you, so can you read the next poem, please? Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Let me just finish this comment, and I am all yours, in a manner of speaking. Okay. Sorry for the delay. Where to, What's Next, by Oak Blue 34. It began in the cold of February, thought to be over soon, but then came spring, summer, and now the leaves of October drift aground with no end of conflict in sight. Old man sits on a log surrounded by orange and brown remnants of what once was green. Wonders about fate of his country as more reports are received of the fallen and the wounded, with more friends and neighbors being called to become fodder in a madman's war machine. Days grow shorter. Cold seeps across the horizon. Soon, everything will be bogged down. A winter of discontent, slowly destroying people's livelihoods, eating away at the conscience of a nation. Where will it end? In anger and remorse, will trees refuse to send forth new growth, and leaves come spring? End poem.
Awesome, awesome read there, Laurent. And, you know, awesome, awesome, right? I'll comment further, but Pam, what are your... Oh, Pam left. I think, I don't know if she's back yet. Are you back, Pam? No. Jeff, your thoughts on the poem?
That's a pretty accurate description of what's happening in Ukraine. There's no secret there. And it talks, you know, it's basically, I love how it, you know, how he just kind of portrays the whole war, in a sense, the beginning in the cold of February, thought to be over soon. Then came praying summer, now leaves of October drift to ground, but no end in conflict in sight. You know, and then he goes on about how he contemplates, and then you talk, we get into the wounded with more friends. Obviously, this is, I believe, kind of from maybe the thoughts of a Russian, an older Russian man. It's sad and it's tragic, you know, all the way through. And it really hits a button, you know, and obviously, you know, it's going to go on. It apparently it'll, you know, from the way it looks, it's just going to turn into a quagmire, and sadly, you know, when you have quagmires, you have lots and lots of people getting killed, you know, and that's pretty much what's going to take place. We'll be lucky if it's a quagmire. It could be much worse, but it's a really well written poem and a great read.
Yeah, awesome read there, Laurent. Awesome, awesome comment there, Jeff. And, you know, amazing, amazing metaphors throughout this and amazing imagery, too. And, you know, very, very powerful and emotive, right, indeed. Robert, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I like the transition of the seasons. And him including the nature of it, because it's not only including, you know, the nature of the planet, but the nature of us as well. And I think that when he mentions the fodder and the madman's war machine, it's not just that, but the bodies will also be, you know, fodder for nature too. So it's a very tragic indeed. And I like the way that poetry in its art form, and actually just art in general, is able to kind of put stuff out there and not necessarily be specific, but the metaphor is enough so that you know what's going on, you know. And then of course he was a little bit more specific here with the wounded and the dying and things like that, but to be as expressive but yet be beautiful at the same time. So it's beautiful and it's tragic. But he expressed it very well, and it is one of those things that we may never get over. And I don't know, it's sad, but he did a great job with it, I think.
Oh yeah, indeed. Awesome, awesome comment there, Robert. Well written piece. By Oak Blue here. And who did I ask? Now I'm lost. Pam. Pam's back. What did you think, Pam? Did you get to hear the piece?
I read it earlier, and I thought
okay.
it was just a beautiful and powerful write, strong use of imagery. I like how he connected the picture of this old man beneath a tree of falling leaves with the current situation between Ukraine and Russia. I thought it spoke strongly on the idea of the devastation of a land and people affected by violence. And I especially liked that second stanza with friends and neighbors being called to become fodder in a madman's war machine. Powerful lines and very well done.
Awesome. You know, the way he used, like I think Robert said, the transitions, the seasons there, you know, that's just amazing writing all through. I just really love this piece. And, so I'm going to put the next piece up. So, Jeff, whenever you're ready.
Okay, I'll give it a try. Footprints of an Angel by me. Here we go. On cool autumn days when the aspens and cottonwoods begin to drop their yellow and gold leaves and the birches show the initials of lovers scrawled in the white bark, I like to take an easy stroll near the river, but not quite shoreside, though close enough to where I can hear the constant song of rapids and chickadees as they rustle through the branches of twisted trees. Droplets from an early morning frost begin to plummet from limbs and leaves. A wrinkled blossom holds a droplet as it undulates in the easy air. A web jeweled with silver beads reaches across to another branch where snowberries are clustered on a stem in their shameless light. I walk in between happiness and sorrow, contentment and hunger, as old memories replay through my mind like silent movies, though still bursting with emotion, like a plump berry just ripe. There is something that goes with me on these long walks on autumn mornings. At times, the soft touch of a hand that is not there, or the permeation of emotion from a being tangible only to that inner self of me that knows. The path leads away from the river and to a small stream barely trickling, where I cross an old wooden bridge, feeling the life force of this companion close, sometimes on special mornings. A little frost remains on the planks of the bridge. Once in a while crossing, I turn and look behind me, trying to capture the footprints of an angel.
Wow, that was an awesome read there. And, you know, a very emotive right. You know, we feel the emotion in your voice as you read that, Jeff. You know, your imagery is just, you know, always just blows me away. The way you can capture, you know, the nature so beautifully. But, you know, the emotion that comes out with that loved one, you know, in the form of an angel that's always close to you on these walks is just amazing the way you captured that in this poem. And very emotive and beautiful right all through. Just is an awesome right. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, I shared his emotion. When someone writes as personal and as beautiful a poem as this, ostensibly about a walk in nature, and look, your descriptions and details when you write about nature are second to none, really. I've enjoyed the poem you wrote recently about the stream and the way the little details created a full picture. Your pen is a mighty paintbrush, because you detail the images so well. And then to move from that, the image of turning and looking behind you and trying to capture the footprints of an angel and sharing the emotion that was so obvious in your voice, I think brought anyone who heard the poem closer to you. Kudos to you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Wonderfully said there, Laurent. And Robert, your thoughts?
Well, in these seasons in autumn and winter, especially, it seems to be really hard because I noticed that, and I'm not sure why, but if it's just the nature of things, but it tends to be seasons of loss, and even for me, so some of the most important people. So I don't know, when you read that and you got further into it, it really tapped into something in me that I had locked away. So, yeah, I'm glad, though, you know, because that's what this is about, you know, sharing our pieces of ourselves with the other people. But what I have to say about the poem itself is that even if you didn't see the page, like even if you didn't look at it and didn't know the picture, you could close your eyes and you could see everything. You could feel everything. You could even feel the breeze if you wanted. You know, like it's so well done, and like how it's been said that your depiction of nature is bar none just beautiful. So I appreciate you sharing this personal piece with us and for allowing us to delve into that beauty.
Yeah,
thanks.
So well said there. So well said there, Robert. And yeah, thank you indeed, Jeff. This is an awesome, awesome tribute to that loved one of yours. Thank you so much. It's an honor to hear that poem. And I understand, Pam, that we have a new caller with us.
You sure do.
Hi, Felon.
Hey, how are you? Hi, Laurent. Can I comment on his poem, if I could, please?
Yeah, yes, go ahead.
Absolutely. I was, for one, the read was absolutely amazing. And I think that when people put emotions to it, it makes them vulnerable to their works. You can actually, it gives each write, you know, with legs when it does that. Because to me, it really touched me. It really did, because you can hear the loss in your voice, but also the beauty. So, I mean, you captured many emotions in this piece, and I think that you do write nature so well, but I think you do more than just that. You really touch people's hearts. So it's amazing, amazing write and an amazing read as well. Glad you could join us.
Thank you.
Oh, well said there, Felon. It's so true. You know, so true what you said. And Pam, your thoughts.
Yeah, this is absolutely beautiful, and I'm so glad that you wrote this and called in to share it with us. You know, you just have a wonderful way of writing about nature, but not just nature, but the experience of human emotions. And I like how this is about taking that familiar autumn walk and experiencing that flood of bittersweet memories. And it's stunning all the way through. But the stanza that particularly spoke to me was, I walk in between happiness and sorrow, contentment and hunger, as old memories replay through my mind like silent movies, though still busting with emotion like a plump berry just ripe. Powerful lines, Jeff, and very well done.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, awesome, awesome comment there. Me too, I was drawn to those lines, you know, and so many, you know, from top to bottom, this is just a masterpiece that you wrote here, Jeff. This is amazing, amazing, you know, both beautiful and emotive, and it touches your heart, this piece. So well done. So just an honor to have this piece on the show, and for you to have it read, to hear you read it, is even more, you know, awesome. So thank you so, so much. And, Laurent, I have your piece up.
All right.
If you don't mind.
No, not at all. This is called Grandpa Grape. Grandpa Grape, as I am known, is no innocent pixie. A rake and carouser in my youth. Call me an aged cherub who lost his wings with no regrets, lured by the sylvan folk with fruit of the grape, and would I seek employment with them. Vineyards were to be established, and I would run their show. Oh, very much a show. Image, product, promotion, imagination, some measure of exclusivity. I offered my vision and was accepted by their elders. Land, authority, and magical aid were bequeathed to me. Forests were cleared under careful supervision. Animals relocated. A natural balance achieved. Fields ready for planting. Now, I have plowed many a furrow in my time. Most straight, some crooked. As I often imbibed from the stout reds, the land began to produce. Good rootstock, generous rain, mellow sunshine, plentiful harvests abounded. I married a charming elf named Miranda, and we've raised a flock of birds, sometimes, I think. Endless twittering and swooping about the house, a chattering of cherubs in search of trouble. We learned to serve them heavily watered wine at all meals, to gain some immunity against the effects and to sedate their furious pace of play. Field work, too, from time to time. Call it punishment, if you will. They seem to thrive on it. The gods willing will continue to prosper. Older now, slowing down. Mostly I greet customers with a certain ineffable charm. Well practiced, I assure you. Twinkle in my eye and rosy complexion. My image they remember, along with cases of reds and whites in time for the holidays. Old Shamblin Road, a mile past Cemetery Hill. Can't miss us. Anvil. Mm-hmm.
This is just, you know, it's enchanting, right? Older now, slowing down. Mostly I greet customers with a certain ineffable charm. Well practiced, I assure you. Twinkle in my eye and rosy complexion. My image they remember along with the cases of reds and wines in time for the holidays. And then you end it with Old Chablin Road, a mile past Cemetery Hill, can't miss it. You know, it's just, there's just something so amazing about this whole rite. Yeah, it just gives you a warm feeling. I don't know. I just love this tale told. What did you think, Robert, this poem?
Well, Robert had to go.
He did?
Know.
Okay. Well, Pam, I'll leave you a comment then.
Oh, you leave me a comment for Lauren Cohn? That's really nice of you. Actually, I thought this was just delightful storytelling. I love a good first-person narrative. I like that you introduce us to the character of Grandpa Grape, who is this cherub who gladly gives up his wings to live another life. I thought Miranda was a perfect name for an elf. I thought that was very cool. I don't remember which one, but I know that is a name from one of the Shakespeare's plays. I believe it's The Tempest, if I remember right. But I really like this all the way through, but especially forests were cleared under careful supervision, animals relocated, natural balance achieved, fields ready for planting. I like how that speaks on the idea of how farming and forestry should work together to create balance. So absolutely a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Awesome comment there, Pam. Yeah, it is, you know, I said enchanting, you said delightful. Yeah, it is, you know, both just amazing, amazing, right, Laura? I just loved it, just ate it up. And Fallon, what are your thoughts?
I was going to tell Pam, you're right, it is The Tempest, is Miranda and Shakespeare. But this, to me, is very polished, as always. You're such a storyteller, and I really think you should put some of these together, as I've said over and over again, and get a book out there, because you have a way with words. You have a way of weaving a story into just where it just draws you in from the first line, and you just don't want it to stop. And what, you know, I could just see something that's being on Naples at one of their little menus or something, because that's how quaint it is. It's a nice piece. And I like when you get the birds drunk and make them work for you, and they like the punishment because they know they're going to get intoxicated a little later. So I like how you kind of, maybe I'm wrong about that, but that's how I read it. But this is just, wow, amazing. Amazing work as always, and I'm not a big person on fairy kind of stuff, but you always get me, and I don't know how you do it, but you do. You make me want to read more, so it's just amazing.
Thanks, Phil.
You're welcome.
And, yeah, amazing. And we want that book. That's a book order.
Laura. Yeah, my fingers, yeah.
And Jeff, what did you think of Laura's poem?
What are the hours of your winery? I want to go. it was awesome. I mean, yeah, I can't. All I'm going to do is repeat pretty much everything that's been said. But I mean, it's polished. It leaves a lot to, you know, you can just kind of wander through it and look at it from several different angles. But I mean, it's just poetic genius. And just awesome stuff.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, awesome, awesome tale. You do have a magical way with words, Laura. Awesome. Thank you so much for bringing this to us tonight. So appreciated. And I have our next poem up by Titus, and we do have a SoundCloud for that one. So, Pam, whenever you're ready.
All right. Yep. Let me mosey on over and push play. Here we go.
An observation post. Autumn, that welcome picture of last days. I have envisaged Azrael, to whom my own has wallowed often. Such displays prolong uncertainty, albeit did but loom. In attendance he may be conscious prone. Observe the fall for what it is at best. The warmth my being laden to the bone has graced a jaded past, a welcomed guest. The sigh from one's relief it did forecast a finding death. The leaves lay on the ground, the petrichor would stir its first and last of death. It being wished no hint of sounds. Methinks a sudden calm has come about, for which there is no way my having doubts.
Ah, his voice gets me every time. You know, this is a beautiful sonnet on, you know, the coming of death approaching, and did it in such a beautiful way. It sounds like, you know, just like an old classical poem. That is just awesome writing here by Titus. You know, every time he just blows me away. Laurent, what did you think of Titus's poem? poem.
Like virtually all poems by Titus that I've heard or listened to him read or had the opportunity to read myself, this is excellence personified. We're very lucky to have somebody like Titus and his poetry. This is, as you said, a beautiful sonnet. It marries the picture so well. And that first line, autumn, that welcome picture of last days, he welcomes the end of days, the end of an individual's time. The sigh from one's relief that did forecast the finding death, the leaves lay on the ground. How well he uses autumn, and how well he ends that, from which there is no way, my having doubt. He writes in a very classical fashion. His English is manipulated to be easily familiar to anyone from Shakespeare's time as being absolutely normal. He writes beautifully.
Oh, yeah. I second that. there's no one like quite like Titus, and yeah, I'm so happy, you know, that we have him, and I'm sure that everybody does. And thank you so much, Titus, for, you know, that SoundCloud, you know, dropping those SoundClouds every time. They're just, you know, they make our shows. So just thank you so much for the SoundCloud, and thank you, everyone. Yes.
What really amazes me? That a poem of that consequence, of that beauty, of that skill, only has one like. You want to show that. You really do.
Yeah, it's so true. Wonderful observation there. And Jeff, what are your thoughts?
Well, it was sung, you know. I mean, the way he delivered it, you know, that's kind of a lost art, you know. But he does it really well, and you just kind of float away with his words.
Mhm. Yeah, it's so true. It is like it's sung, you know. That is an excellent comment there, Jeff.
You kind of go back to the days of Yeats when, like Innisfree and all that stuff, where poems were kind of spoken, but they were sung at the same time, and Titus does that really well, and it's just good.
Uh huh. So true. So true. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a beautiful write with a wonderful classical feel to it. I like how he writes about death, but not in the way as, like, death is something that you should fear, but rather a calm welcoming and realization that of the end of life. I really like the stanza, the sigh from one's relief it did forecast to finding death, the leaves lay on the ground, the petrichor would stir its first and last of death it being. Wished no hint of sound. So wonderful lines, beautifully written and very well done.
Yeah, indeed. You know, and that stanza and those lines that follow, methinks a sudden calm has come about for which there is no way, my having doubt. Just amazing, amazing finish there. You know, top to bottom, this is just a masterpiece of a poem. So thank you so, so much, Titus. And I have our next poem up. And Jeff, could you give that a read for us, please?
Yeah, as soon as it pops up here, I'll read it. I have to renew the thing. Let's see. Here we go. Not yet. It's not come yet.
Did I put it in the right room?
It's there. Just refresh.
Do you see it there, Jeff?
I'm not seeing it yet. Let me try it one more time.
It's by Pee Wee.
There it is. Okay, got it. There we go. I just had to get this. I'm probably a little slower because I've got a, my internet's kind of messy up here. I'm out in the middle of where they got to turn on the generators once in a while.
No problem.
What, is it Kusin or Kusin? Pee Wee Kusin. Wings in hand. It wasn't all in his hands now. Dashing manically through the night, zigzagging to his left, and then zigging right. I got to read that again. Dashing manically through the night, zigging to his left, then zagging right. Tiny darts whirred a blade width from ear. Nipping at heel, he began to know some fear. Utterly fluid, an adept flick of right hand, snatched a vine weaving down the canyon. Poetry in motion. And with such daft grace, he spun, turned, and flipped entirely about face. Assailants now filled with durs and dismay, fastly and quite defeated, they ran away, leaving now him with that one thing on mind. He found himself this near to getting back in time. Not far away in the great ether of space, child whispered into the ear of time, he is not going to make it to that place. Father time sighed, he knew in his mind. So close, yet so far away for his life to get taken. He didn't want to do it, but it was his creation. Gazing into raven black, sky dropped the wings. Knew he didn't need them where he was going. Knew he didn't need them where he was going. End of poem.
Amazing read there, Jeff. And, you know, amazing right to that prompt. If I'm not mistaken, I think I can, without even looking at this prompt, prompt 20, I think I know what I can see it, you know. The man drifting and with his wings under his arm. I just love this. You know, just the way that this is written. Of course, Pee Wee always has a way of writing that this amazes me, but the imagery and the pace of the whole poem is just so amazing. You know, it's like he's losing his life, running away from his last life, you know. He found himself this near to getting back in time. You know, now far away in the great ether of space, child whispered in the ear of time, he is not going to make it to that place. Father time sighed, he knew in his mind. And that last stanza, really amazing, amazing, amazing piece here. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was a clever and creative story that used imagery and a sense of movement very well to bring us this character of this newborn or newfound angel trying to figure out his wings. And I liked the twist at the end. So just a really great write and very well done.
Awesome comment there, Pam. Indeed, awesome write here by Pee Wee. And Laura, what did you think?
It begins very energetically, almost like an action movie. But then it gets fairly serious. Fairly deep, the story of this angel, and you know, you could almost take that as a metaphor for people trying to recapture something that was theirs or something that they had past life, almost anything that you care to mention, but not making it. I like the personification of the child and Father Time, almost as God, I assume, his creation. Great piece, and very interesting. You know, it immediately causes you to think about a certain number of things. So I've always liked that kind of poem.
Mm-hmm. Yes, awesome comment there. Love, Anne. And Jeff, you read that so wonderfully. What are your thoughts?
I like the turn near the end. I mean, it kind of runs along, and then, you know, and it's youthful, and then in the middle it slows down, and then towards the end it, you know, so close yet so far away for his life to get taken. He didn't want to do it, but it was his creation. That really struck a chord with me. So, yeah, it was a nice poem, kind of a joy to read, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess. And you read it so wonderfully. Yeah, a great observation there of, you know, the way it's so true, the rhythm, how it changes up throughout the poem. It's a great observation. Awesome, awesome right here. Thank you so, so much, Pee-wee, for you know, slipping this one in. Just an honor to have this on the show tonight. So thank you so, so much. And, I'm going to put up our next write by Diane D. And this does have a SoundCloud. So, Pam, whenever you're ready.
All right. Here we go.
Listen. By Diane D. This message is for you. Yes, you. Listen. Listen to Pump.
No, I apologize, but that one has language that we are not allowing on an early show. It will have to be moved to an after midnight show.
Okay. So I'll just
the next one, please.
Yes, okay. Okay, I'll just pull one. Well, since Robert left us, and I don't know if he'll be able to make it back, but I still want to get his piece read tonight. So, Laurent, if you will do us the honor of reading Robert's piece, please.
We have an audio from Robert.
Oh, we do. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Ready?
Sorry about that. Yeah.
This is my recital of Stellar Reflection. A poem based on a quote by William Shakespeare. Cast thine eyes to the stellar sea. Observe the essence of the soul. When you gaze, do you remember me, or have memories taken their toll? Do you remember when our fire burned as our passionate souls united? When we desperately and eagerly yearned, awakening each day excited. When you notice the rising of the sun and the pale beauty of the moon, does it remind you of bounds undone as this heart was mangled and hewn? Does the golden dawn in ascension reflect our beauteous beginning with the moon in cosmic suspension reflecting the acts of your sinning? The frigid, lifeless, beautiful pearl that soars in the blackened sky painfully reminds me of that girl who left without saying goodbye. Rivers of tears have doused my flame and drowned my remaining desire, feeling emotions deeper than name, but without a spark to inspire. So when you sit and count the stars and think of what was done, consider this heart's many scars and reflect on every one. For you may have had a feeling of doubt. Maybe you just weren't prepared. One thing you can be certain about is the fact that I truly cared. Though my fire has been consumed by the tears of great betrayal, new opportunities have since bloomed in the soil I once thought stale. Our hearts have wandered to find new light, but when you decide to delve above, may you keep me in your thoughts each night, having never once doubted my love.
Oh, what a beautiful piece. You know, the flow of it, the rhythm, the rhyme is just so beautifully done. There's a part in here, when you notice the rising of the sun and the pale beauty of the moon, does it remind you of the bounds undone as this heart was mangled and whom? You know, this, it's such a powerful and emotive piece, just and such a wonderful, wonderful sound cloud, you know, beautiful, beautiful reading of this piece. This is a very, very powerful piece, and it so fits so many prompts that of this contest that I had on. So thank you so, so much, Robert, for this, for us slipping in this piece tonight. And Laurent, your thoughts on Robert's piece?
One of the things I really like about Robert is that when he decides to write a poem in the best rhyming tradition, there's very few people that have the rhythm and the flow that he does in his rhyming. Take the first stanza, for example. Cast thine eyes to the stellar sea. Observe the essence of the soul. When you gaze, do you remember me? Or have memories taken their toll? How many of us have not looked at the sky in despair and asked a similar question of the universe, if you will? This is a pain-filled yet passionate poem that uses the universe, the stars, the sun, the moon, to great advantage, the frigid, lifeless, beautiful pearl that soars in the blackened sky painfully reminds me of that girl who left without saying goodbye. He emotes wonderfully in this, the broken-hearted lover who has bitterness in his soul, even though he never once doubted my love. He was true. He was betrayed. And now she's gone. But we have the poem. Well done.
An awesome, awesome comment there, Laurent. And Felon, your thoughts?
Oh, Felon had to go.
Oh, Felon had to go. Okay. Jeff, your thoughts?
Well, it's kind of like wild. I mean, he really put it together on this one. You know, the thing is there's a lot of poems that are like this, but very, very few that are written this effective, you know, and that's what I would say about this poem. I mean, you know, I think I wrote, you know, a ton of lost love poems and things of that nature, and, you know, they suck. I mean, But this poem here is well written, it's well put together, and it's well rhymed, and kind of refreshing, you know. So he did something that's a subject that's commonly written about. I mean, you know, I don't know of any poets that haven't written a poem like this, but he did it really, really well.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, the rhythm and the rhyme, I have to agree with you, is impeccable. You know, and the way he can, you know, do that so technically but still get that emotion through the poem, you know, it's just a true talent there. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a beautiful write. It has, as everyone was saying, wonderful rhyme of flow, brilliant imagery. I really like how this speaks on love and loss and the idea that memories tear at the heart and the mind. And we oftentimes find ourselves wondering if the other person is thinking about us as much as we are thinking about them. I really liked Rivers of Tears have doused my flame and drowned my remaining desire, feeling emotions deeper than name, but without a spark to inspire. So, excellent write and very well done.
Oh, awesome comment there, Pam. And Pam, would you mind reading the next poem I just put up?
I would be happy to. All right. This is From Shadow to Shadow Beneath the Moon by River Blue. And it goes like this. Autumn enters as a seductress, lifting her hem to take her first steps across the celestial sphere, accompanied by plum-shadowed clouds that few find as charming as baby blue. Northern winds take her arm as she glides through forest in a russet taffeta gown. Trees swoon and covet what she has to offer as she transforms the emerald jewels of summer to amethyst pendants and citrine lockets, armlets of topaz, and sweets of rubies. The weight of that finery dripping like charms from every branch pirouettes in the breeze till it free falls to the ground, becoming a vibrant Persian rug for the forest floor. We stand anxious beneath the canopy of change and feel the earth shifting in its autumnal equinox as it begins to tilt away from the sun. Night comes fast. People gather around their hearths to enjoy fruits and vegetables they grew in hot summer months. Mountain lions and red foxes insulated by extra food to prepare for chilling winds and long rustling nights. Pounce from shadow to shadow beneath the moon, silhouetted against a matisse blue sky. The strongest trees don crystalline couture and make music when frigid gusts waltz through them. Fine fur and cashmere cannot keep you warm if autumn touches the brow of a summer soul too soon. End poem.
What an amazing, amazing poem. You know, the imagery and the metaphors in this are just out of this world. River Blue. And I see this was a front page pick 5 days ago, you know, so, so deserving. So bravo. And, you know, this is the first time I've read a poem from River Blue. And, you know, wow. I just hope, you know, and beg her a little to continue writing for our contest, because this is absolutely amazing. And yeah, I'm going to ask the king of nature poems. Jeff, what did you think of this poem?
It's really good. You know, I love how she starts off on Autumn Enters as a Seductress, and then lifting her hand to take her first steps across the celestial sphere. And then she just starts coming, you know, northern winds take her arm. It all kind of falls right into line with what fall does. And then she gets into all the different colors, and I'm like, wow, you know. I mean, you know, and she just describes it perfectly, and her delivery is smooth and strong with excellent imagery and metaphor, and, you know, I just super good poetry.
Oh, yeah, indeed. You know, some of these stanzas, like she offers us, you know, the trees swoon and covet, which, you know, and then she goes into all the jewelry there. Wow, as metaphors, just beautiful writing. Laurent, what are your thoughts? Hello, Laurent
had to go.
Oh, we had to go. Well, Pam, that was an amazing, amazing read. What are your thoughts?
This was brilliant. It had a beautiful, beautiful amount of imagery throughout. I love how she used the different colors like citrine and topaz and described the falling leaves as a vibrant Persian rug for the forest floor. This is a wonderful rite that personifies autumn. And then with the end lines of finest fur and cashmere cannot keep you warm if autumn touches the brow of a summer soul too soon, speaks to me on the idea that for some, the end of life comes too soon. And so excellent rite and very well done.
Awesome comment there, Pam. I can't agree more. You know, the colors she uses throughout this poem are just beautiful. You know, from the first stanza to the last. I just love northern winds take her arm as she glides through forest in a russet taffeta gown. Just beautiful. And, you know, the vibrant Persian rug for the forest floor. Her metaphors are just amazing all throughout. The finest fur and cashmere, you know, just amazing. And we only have a couple of minutes left. And I looked over, you know, the poems in my contest. And, you know, I don't have very many short poems. They're all very long poems. So, and I don't think we'll be able to read and then have time to comment on one. So maybe, Pam, we can get in a few announcements for upcoming shows.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, make sure to check out all the contests put up by our Late Night Poets hosts and hostesses, especially for next week's Halloween week, which is going to be a lot of fun. Now, tomorrow at noon, we have Keeping It Brief, and in Brevity Writers, you can find the topic board for that, which is Open Brevity. Then at 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, we have The Art of Seduction, which is the art of Umberto Brunelleschi, and that contest I'm running is going to be closing tonight, but writes will be welcomed on the topic board. And then at 12:30 a.m., we have the Headliners Ball with Jeremy F., and we are going to be headlining the poetry of Weaver of Dreams and Deep-Minded Poet 001. Great lineup of poetry this week, this week and next week. Contests, you know, just something for everyone to be inspired. I do want to mention a couple of contests that need rights, and that is Fill My Eyes is running a contest for Robert Scholl, The Solace of Shadows, featuring the artwork of Miroslav Pecho, and Rex is running a contest for Sunday's Rhythm and Rhyme Show featuring songs by the band Free. So make sure to check those all out.
Okay, we will. And you can put up some of those links after the show, Pam. And I'll try and get a couple of writes in. Do that tomorrow. And I just want to thank, Pee-wee and everybody. Titus, I saw Titus on the board tonight. And Poetic Creations I saw on the board. So I just want to thank them for hanging out on the board with us. So appreciate, you know, you being there. And, thank you, Jeff, for phoning in. It was such a pleasure to hear your voice finally. And, you know, I'm just thrilled to have you as a guest tonight. It was just amazing to have you. Pardon me?
It might be a little bit off. It was a little coated with pain pills.
Yeah, from your accident. Yeah, I hope you're feeling better soon. My gracious.
Yeah, I'm going to be okay. I've been pretty accident prone the last month or so. I'm kind of like a walking scar tissue right now. So, you know, but I'll be okay. It comes and goes.
I'm accident prone too. So, and I'd like to also thank, of course, Laurent for phoning in, you know, and hanging with us, and Robert. Thank you so much. And Felon, thank you so much, Felon. And yeah, so have a good evening, everybody. This was a great show. Thank you so much, everybody that wrote into the show. So have a great night, everybody. Good night.
Good night.